Okay. Well, that's a good thing. Imagine that. Ready?
It's all yours.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm wired. I want to welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many have had a really tough week this past week? Yeah. It's going right up the middle. I haven't had a week like this in, God, I don't remember how long. 3 years, 4 years. But I just believe that what the Lord is doing and what he wants to do, Satan will oppose it every time. And so, I am confident in this one good thing. That God will always, his plan will always, go forward. And it will always accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. Amen? Amen. Wait for Irene's heels to go through. Let's just have a simple prayer. Father, we just come and we commit ourselves to you today, Lord God. We know your word is true. We know that we can do all things through Christ. We know we have everything that pertains to life and liberty, Lord God. But most importantly, God, give us the grace to hear your word and implement your truth today and for every day in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's title is Developing a Sower's Heart, Part 2. I said last week that we were going to spend 5 weeks in the basic principles that myself and my family live by. And it's important that we understand that as we go forward and as we implement these things, wherever you are in this journey to align yourself up with God, Satan wants to first stop you from getting there. But I want to encourage you that even when it looks the bleakest, God is on the horizon ready to take you further. Amen. So don't give up. Continue to press through. Continue to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, and everything will work out. Last week I spoke about the first letter, which is S. And that is sacrifice. And in the sacrifice, I stated that it is not the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's, according to Leviticus 27:30, and everything that's associated with the tithe, the benefits, the security, the blessings, all start there. The sacrifice is something that Paul says in Romans 12:1, we are to be a living sacrifice, much the same as what the priest did in offering up sacrificial or the sacrifice for the sin offering, or the wave offering, or the peace offering. Their whole life was spent in sacrificial service to accomplish that which God had purposed. And it shall be for us also. I want you to begin to start considering. I'm not asking you to make a sacrifice right now, but the opportunity for this congregation has arrived in which I will be asking you to sacrifice in order to accomplish that which God wants done. And so those opportunities need to be discussed with your family and needs to be prayerfully considered. And then listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do as part of this sacrifice. Up to this point, the leadership has been sacrificing, getting us to this point. But now God has said that if 2017 is to be our year of increase, We need to add the sacrifice. Why? Because there's things that God wants to do. There's things that He wants to accomplish. And He takes that sacrifice and we consider it dead to ourselves, but He makes life come out of that. And what we want to understand is that in sacrificing, and we already sacrifice in certain areas, and but we really need to understand that in this case, our life of sacrifice will not go unnoticed by God. Amen? And so, I want you to consider your sacrifice. I want you to talk it over with your family. I want you to discuss it and come the first of the year. We have several things that the leaders need to discuss as to what we want to accomplish, that God is stirring on our hearts for. And we have to remind ourselves that wherever we are in this journey, God will bring us through. He will bring us to conform to His wishes, and we will expect great things of God to do through us. Last week I spoke about David and how he was at the threshing floor of Haruna, and Haruna offered out the sacrifice, but David said, no, I'm going to buy this because I'm not going to offer out a sacrifice that doesn't cost me something. So what we have to determine is, what is that cost that's going to be to you so that streams can be raised up and reach her full potential in what God wants to do? After that, I read about the account of Alexander Carr, who got saved under D.L. Moody's ministry. I shared about the historical account of his sacrifice and his understanding of the tithe. And the result was that God protected his factory from the San Francisco earthquake. But what was more devastating was the fire. And God protected even that. Nothing was broken. Nothing was damaged. Nothing was lost. Because he believed God's word, and God honored his word. Amen? Today I would like to continue that a little bit, to give you an understanding that in 1940, there was a tithing experience that was happening. And this experience led into an experiment between Perry Hayden. Do we know who Perry Hayden was? He was a farmer. And Henry Ford. Do we know Henry Ford? Henry Ford made cars, he made tractors, he made all kinds of things. And so in 1940, September 20th, 1940, they teamed up and they took 1 cubic inch of wheat seed. 1 cubic inch. That's probably the size of a shot glass. Okay? And they planted it. And they planted it because wheat grows better in the winter. And so it can be harvested in the spring. And what they had said was they were going to plant this cubic inch. They were going to tithe off of the inch and plant the rest. And so what I want to do is give you the historical account of this experiment that they had. It lasted 7 years. 7 is the number of fullness. So they want 7 years in this experiment. And in the first year they planted the cubic inch. They planted it on a plot of land of 4 feet by 8 feet, which is approximately four by eight. Yeah. And so they planted it, and in 1941 they harvest the crop. And it increased 45 cubic inches. Now, I don't have any visuals, but I just want to tell you that from 1 cubic inch to 45 cubic inches is pretty good. They tithed off of that. They planted in the fall of 40, 41, and they harvested the next year in 42, and the yield was 70 pounds of wheat. They tithed off of that. They planted the 63 pounds, and then the harvest of 1943 yielded 16 bushels. Hayden tied to his church and planted the remaining 14.4 bushels on 14 acres of land. The harvest in 1944 yielded 380 bushels, of which Hayden tithed to his church, planted the remaining 342 bushels on 230 acres. We start seeing this picture that as we tithe, there's an increase that comes. The resulting harvest in 1945 yielded 5,255 bushels. This was the first year that Henry Ford had developed his combine, and the combine had a counter of every bushel that was being harvested. So the numbers are accurate in correlation to the combine. They tithed on this 5,275 bushels, and they planted 4,730 bushels. But they devised a plan because they had run out of land, and they incorporated an additional 250 farmers with the plan of that they would tithe off of their increase to their local churches. And in the resulting year, the following year of 1946, was that the farmers tithed off of the harvest. And they had sold a huge amount of the seed for $100,000, of which they could use for whatever it was. That's equivalent to that $100,000 in those days is equivalent to $5 million today. I want to tell you that God is not a respecter of persons. And wherever you are in this process, consider being faithful. Test God. Test it. And see what He will do for you. What He has done for our family is invaluable. It's priceless. It's to the point where you've heard me say, I cannot afford not to tithe. Because of the benefits and the things that God has done for us, we want to remain faithful to that. And so I want to encourage you today, that if you, wherever you are, like I had said, it took 10 months for me to go from zero tithing to tithing, and God has blessed us tremendously. What He did for us, He will do for you. Amen? I also want to give you one warning, that the amount that you sow will be the amount that you will reap, according to Luke 6:38. If you sow nothing, you don't have a crop for anything. Okay? And I want you to have a crop. I want you to increase. I want you to have the abundant life that God has. And that abundance may not be in material things, but the abundance starts in the spiritual realities that you are beginning to walk in and trust in God. That's where the increase comes, and then it manifests into the physical realm. Okay? Today I would like to take us a step further. If we would go to Psalm 115. We will start today, if you're writing down, with the letter O, because the acronym of SOWER is what we're basing these five principles on. It's the easiest way for me to break it down for you, because this is how I've constructed our life with the things of God. And it says in Psalm 115, verse 12 through 18, it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give to you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord for this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. This is a truth and a reality that I want you to get into your spirit. This is a key to unlocking your heart so that God can do His thing. Because this is not some sort of legalism. You can do whatever you want to do. But understand that God has prescribed a way for us to reap the benefits. And part of this is O, which is offerings. We know about the tithe. We know about the sacrifice. Now we're going to talk about offerings. As I stated before, the tithe is the Lord's, and we receive the benefits and security. The sacrifice is that which, through our willful obedience, a need will be met. Okay? But offerings starts with our heart. An offering is simply a willful giving of our heart to God. Whatever our heart is telling us to give, we should be mindful to give that to God. And I'm not talking about money, but that's where everybody equates it to money. And if we're willfully giving out of our heart and following our heart, it can be at any time and as often as the heart is leading things to be given. We're a benefit of individuals who have given an offering to us. And that offering resulted in our chairs. Was needed. God moved on their heart. And the need was met. But I want you to understand that our heart must be filled with love for God. And we've got to change our mindset thinking that God wants to be punitive to us. He doesn't. What He wants us to do is deliver us from a selfish, self-centered spirit that is greedy for the things of the world. And He wants us to be set free from that so that whatever He asked of us at that time, we just give it to Him and let Him do what He wants to do in order to provide for a need and a blessing to others. The design that God has for us is to increase. And as long as we're holding on to our situations, as long as we're holding on to our conditions, as long as we're holding on the things that should be jettisoned out of our lives, we are thwarting our own increase that God wants to pour out onto us. So there's three things I want us to come away with today. One, what is an offering? Two, what is the offering part of? And three, what is your heart saying? Okay? What is an offering? Basically, in the Hebrew and the Greek, offering, the word offering means to make present, or to make a present, a gift, or an alm. Alms. Okay? It's really what it... The three wise men gave Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This was their alm, their gifts that they gave. And I like it around this time of Christmas because we have the tree up. We have packages all around. And you see the kids going crazy for all the stuff. They're wondering what's under the tree. They're wondering what's being given to them. And that causes our hearts to rejoice because we actually see and get to give them these gifts out of our love and devotion for them. Why? So that their joy may be full. So does God. God wants to give these gifts to us as we offer something. We're offering these gifts as alms to our kids. I've never heard of a kid say, I hope there's nothing under the tree for me. I've never heard that. I've never heard of a child just say, ah, there's nothing under the tree. I mean, you see that in the movies and stuff, but I've never heard that personally. And how disappointing it would be for a child not to expect something given to them. At least one gift. It's insane. And this is where God loves cheerful givers. Irene is probably the most giving person I know. I tend to be pragmatic about how I do things and stuff, but Irene, she just sees a need, God speaks to her, and goes on. We've learned over the years that we don't kibitz or converse about this. We have learned that guys were to be the burden bearers of the ministry, while our women are to be the blessing bearers. They're to bless others. Why? Because we tend to try to rationalize. We tend to minimize. We tend to do all kinds of things, but thank God for our helpmates. They see a need, they look to meet that need, to be a blessing. They don't look for anything in return. And so we've learned to work as a team in doing this. If I see a need, I'll talk to Irene about this need. Oh, we can do this, we can do that. It's whatever God is leading us to do, this is what I see, or vice versa. I see this need, she'll tell me, and she'll say, what do you think? What's God saying to you? I know that's not my anointing, but that's her anointing. We to give to bless others is the offering. Now, what is it part of? It's part of our worship. A lot of times, we don't consider an offering as part of our worship. But it is. It really is part of our worship. And we should thank God for the opportunity to begin to bless others with that. We have to first understand who we are in Jesus Christ before we can understand how these blessings or these offerings can emanate from us so that God can use them. We know that God is holy, and He wants us to be holy as He's holy. And part of being holy is to accept who you are in Jesus Christ. Our jobs, our families, our homes, and even in our very lives, when we've come to Jesus Christ, God has set them apart or sanctified them for His purposes. Everything that we have, God has given to us. Our gifts, talents, abilities, ministries are all holy as unto the Lord because they originated from God. You may be saying, well, you don't understand the environment I'm working in. It's hostile. It's crude. It's very nasty. That's why you're there. You're in that environment to change that environment, not have the environment change you. You are a representative of the King. And to be a blessing, you have to offer yourself in such a way to change that environment. Let God change you. As your heart is leading you, do those things. I learned a long time ago from a really wise person, it's never wrong to do something right for somebody else. It's never, never wrong. God sees. He'll repay. You have to begin to see that being part of a church doesn't make you holy. Being part of God does. The church is only when we assemble together that righteousness, that holiness that God has imparted and imputed into us comes out, and we can share that with each other to build each other up, to encourage each other, to exhort each other unto great works. And that's what all I'm doing today is exhorting you to good works. If we can't see that what we're offering to God and we're worshiping Him as a token of what He has given to us and what He has made us to give to others, then we have to go back to the drawing board and really realize, what does your relationship to Jesus Christ look like? Some of the examples I want to give, I'm not bragging on it, it's just what we do, is I've given tools to individuals. I've given rides to individuals. We've bought Christmas presents for people. We've taken people for medical reasons to places. And this is just recent that we've done these things. And I know some of you have done likewise. Keep it up. Continue to offer these things out to God so that He can use you. Continuing to. The key to the offering is, this is seed. This is seed that God has given to us that we can plant into somebody else's life to bless them. Okay? But not only to bless them, but also those who are watching what's going on. Either those who are watching us or watching what is happening. It is seed that's being planted into their lives without them even realizing it, that they eventually come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's our goal. We have to understand this is the reason why we exist in the first place. We don't exist just to be happy, fat, and lazy. We got saved so that we could save others. That's the whole thing. And I believe that this increase is not only going to be numerical, not only is it going to be spiritual, but it's going to be financial to you and to streams and to everyone. We're going to be able to do so much more, but we have to have this mindset of increase. God wants to bless you. But if you're still holding on to the stuff that He wants you to let go, how can He give you more? Give it away. I have a whole garage full of stuff that we have been slowly giving away to people. We don't need it. It's good. It's, you know, we have no use for it. But we're finding people who have needs. And so we just bless them. Here, have it. And of course you get this phony baloney. Oh, I couldn't take that. Why would you be so kind? I'm being kind because you can use it. I don't have a need for it any longer. You see, it's not stuff that I want to hold on to. And neither should you. An offering can be anything that the Lord can use to meet needs and bless others. It doesn't necessarily mean money. But that's helpful too. People can always use money. Amen? What is your heart saying to you? In Luke 5, we have an account. A tremendous account that I think we read over, we gloss over, and we don't get the deeper spiritual truth that's in this reality. Let's read. And so it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, He stood, Christ, by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they had caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He said, and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken, and so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who had partnered with Simon. And he said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will catch men." And so when they had brought the boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Now the first question is, what does this have to do with offerings? Right? What does this have to do with offerings? We see the pictures being painted. Jesus is walking along the shoreline. The throngs of people are pressing in on him. And his only escape is the Sea of Galilee. But he sees two boats and they're empty. The fishermen are washing their nets. And he gets into a boat, which was Peter's. And he started teaching the people about the kingdom of heaven. And then he instructed Peter that after he was done, launch out into the deep. And many of us have heard the teaching on evangelism and launching out into the deep, doing the deep things of God, and he will bless you. But I want us to remain focused on the offering. Jesus asked Peter to do something. Peter had a decision to make. Was he going to obey what the Lord was saying of him, or wasn't he? How do I respond to when I know the Lord is requesting me to do something, to offer something? Imagine for a moment the Lord of glory is making a request for of you. How will you respond? Will you be obedient and do what he says? Because your response determines whether you have faith in God to not only meet your need, but meet the needs of others, to be a blessing to them. The worst thing that could happen for a fisherman was to fish all night and catch nothing. Why? That's their profession. To go out and catch fish all night so that they could come back, sell their wares, pay their crews, pay the bills, feed their families, buy extra equipment, whatever was needed. And not to have fish meant that none of that could happen. Jesus saw this. He saw the need. He knew that Peter didn't catch anything. It was obvious to him. Obvious, by the way, Peter was conducting himself. It was obvious that he wasn't selling anything. It was obvious that there was a need. Jesus came to his boat. We don't know if Peter was even interested in the message because he hadn't come to Christ yet. We don't even know if he was paying attention to what was going on. Most of us come to church and we are burdened down with, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to get to work? How am I going to do this? A plethora of questions that the enemy throws into our minds so that we don't hear the word of God, understand it, and act upon it. And I bet you that's what was going on in Peter's mind right then and there. But Jesus saw Peter's need. His need was fish. But understand also, the boat is representative of Peter's life. All that he had was tied up in the boat. All that he could make money with was tied in his boat. All that he had depended upon his ability, his gifts, his talents to bring in a harvest that would be a blessing to others as he sold this off. Jesus basically said, what do you got to lose, Peter? Launch out into the deep. Peter had a choice whether to sow into the Lord's ministry or not. He offered his boat. He offered his boat to Jesus. Another thing happened that I believe changed the course of everything. And that was when Jesus entered into the boat, he sat down. He sat down and he spoke to all the people. And I say that at that time when Jesus sat down, there was a transference of the physical economy into God's economy. But as he taught, he was allowing God to work in such a way that this blessing could be manifested. Not only to meet Peter's needs and be a blessing to Peter, but also to those whom he would touch also. Jesus told him to set out into the deep. And most of us would say the same thing as Peter. Man, I've toiled all night. I'm not done enough to catch any fish. Man, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. But at your word, I'm going to do it. How many of us give in to all those proclivities at the expense of being obedient to God? You see, your heart is saying something to you. You have something to offer someone. But you're not either willing to part, because we're holding on, or we don't trust God enough to be set free and release it so we can receive that which what God wants to give to us. And I get it. I understand. It was real hard for us that in our greatest time of need, we gave. We gave. And some of you know that the story of that when we committed to the tithe and we committed to everything, Satan caused taxes that we had not paid to suddenly visit us. And we had to deal with that. But we said to the Lord, we will trust you. You will see us through. And we will continue to be a blessing to people no matter what the enemy throws against us. And not only did it happen once, it happened twice to us. It happened that we lost a second vehicle. And I could just go on and on and on about the needs that were being manifested because the enemy did not want us to commit to financing the kingdom and being an active participant of the kingdom in order to bless others. And I'm not talking about just blessing brothers and sisters. I'm talking about blessing heathen, those who are not close to God. And let's face it, our efforts this year have not met the results that we were hoping for. That's okay. It really is okay. Because we learned something. And so in that learning, we strategize a little bit different. It's not a failure. God wants to see what we will do in this. In every warfare, there is resistance. Why should we feel as Christians that we should do things and not meet resistance? We tend to forget that we're in a war. We tend to forget that we're warriors. We tend to forget that we're not to get caught up in everyday life, but to what the King wants and what the King wants us to do. It's real hard when you're at the end of your rope and you don't know whether to hold on or let go. It's real hard when you only have X amount of dollars and you have a whole month to go through. It's real hard. And my family was there. And I'm here to tell you that God is faithful. Peter launched out just as the Lord instructed him. Drop the nets. And when he started pulling up the nets, he caught fish. So much so that the second boat was needed to pull this harvest in. So much so that it spoke volumes to Peter that he came to Christ and said, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." Did Jesus once say to the individual, "You're a sinner, repent, and then I'll bless you"? No. And we should jettison that. We should look forward in building relationships so that we can see heartfelt needs in such a way that we can help meet those needs. That may take a couple of us pulling together resources in order to do that. Whatever the case is, if we say no, we don't have the opportunity to be a blessing. Amen? Christ simply entered into the life of Peter, found out what his need was by building that relationship with him. And when he met that heartfelt need, fish, Peter came to repentance. It's a great miracle that happened, but it started with Peter offering his boat, an alms. I trust you, Lord, enough with my boat. I trust you enough with my livelihood. I trust you enough with all my possessions. I trust you enough. Remember I said it's going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have to follow Christ. We don't own anything, not even our lives. They're all His. He wants to see if we're going to open up our heart and be receptive and responsive to what He's requesting of us. What has your heart been speaking to you that you should be doing that you haven't done? I can't answer that for you. Because when God speaks to me, my problem is I'm quick to respond. I want to do what God says to do. And a lot of times that causes my family to come kicking and screaming along with me. But eventually we get there. To the point where we've learned to just respond to God and meet needs. We've learned to see needs. We've learned to ask people if we don't have the ability to bless them. We've included others who do have that ability. Give me an example. I came across an individual who wanted to give away a wood stove, a Franklin stove. That was Wednesday it was. So the person asked me, said, "Do you have need of this?" I said, "Nope. It's too heavy for me." You're talking about something that weighs about 600-700 pounds. I said, but I'll tell you what, I know of some people who could use a wood stove. Send me a picture. I'll show them the picture. Well, of course, those people said, man, we've been praying about this. We've been looking for it. We couldn't pay for this. I said, it's yours. All you have to do is go pick it up. And that's what they're going to do. Go pick it up. They get blessed because all I am is a conduit. I have no use for it, so I pass the blessing on. I knew somebody who wanted it. Phew. Do it. Are you going to be there? No. 600 pounds, I'm not even going to even entertain lifting anymore. There's enough people that they could enlist to get this thing out of a basement, a finished basement, and take it to their home. Bless God. There is one thing that we lack when we come to our offerings. It's out of Proverbs. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. We should be the smartest people on the earth at winning souls. Let me give you the definition, the biblical definition of wise. It means one who is intelligent, skillful, cunning, uses strategy, is shrewd, knows what it takes to enter into a lost person's world, having both the compassion and the purpose of learning their heartfelt need and then meeting it. You see, we're here to strategize to figure out how we can enter into a lost person's world with the full objective of winning them to Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, my training was training that I would preach the gospel, and then I would try to harvest you right away. Anyone see any problem with that? The biggest one is there's no relationship. There's no investment into that person. But I've learned over the years to use wisdom. The strategy we used this year did not pan out, so we know that doesn't work. Most of you know that I spend a lot of time in prayer for the coming year as to what the Lord wants to do. And I will share that with you in a few moments. Jesus knew Peter's heartfelt need. He was wise. He observed. He looked at a way in which to provoke a response from Peter. It's no different than Jesus asking the disciples when they're sitting on a mountain saying, go feed the 5,000. But Lord, that would take a week's wages to feed all these people. What was offered was, what was it, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And everyone was fed. And they had an abundance left over. It doesn't require a lot on our part to offer or an offering to God. Jesus prayed. It's our worship. And then he split the what was given and people were fed. In this case, Peter gave his boat and he became a disciple. Him, James, and John became disciples of Jesus Christ. Luke 12:31-34 says, seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In God's great wisdom, He has taught me that the tithe belongs to Him, and it is meant to meet the needs of the local church. He has taught me what a sacrificial life looks like. And believe me, we have sacrificed to get to this point. And now you guys will have the opportunity to join with us so that we are unified in accomplishing that which God has called into us. The offering is seed for kingdom expansion. If you don't offer anything to God, He can't bless you for you to bless others, and thereby them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Giving to God is part of our worship, and it's an investment we make that goes for kingdom expansion. Everything that we do is for kingdom expansion, whether it's the tithe, whether it's the sacrifice, or in this case, the offering. Part of the strategy that God has given to me is I'm going to ask you today, tomorrow, whenever, to put a list of 10 people, 10 families, whatever, and start praying for them. Start praying for them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to eventually we can find what their heartfelt needs are, and then hopefully they'll come to Streams, which is our objective. Just put that list together and start praying for them. Your obedience will pay tremendous dividends in increasing your life and increasing the potential of Streams to reach our community. Amen? We must maintain an open heart. Whatever God is saying to us, we need to respond positively to it. He's not asking you to cut your right arm off. But then again, He might. I don't know. But what He is asking is that you participate in His economy. Come out of the economy of the world and start living in the kingdom's economy. And you will begin to see how this thing works in quick succession. You will get raises that you didn't anticipate. You will get favor like never before. You will receive tremendous blessings from God that you can bless others with. We have to understand that God has a plan, and a plan has a purpose. You are part of His plan. You are the answer to someone's heartfelt need. If we do it the way God wants to do it, we respond to God's request, we initiate the wisdom and do it, the time of our increase will be realized. I ask that you just consider it, think about it, devise it. The strategy is changing a little bit. But most importantly, open your hearts. You will not be disappointed. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You, God, that an offering is more than just money, and an offering is more than just stuff. Offering is the condition of our heart to be receptive to the leading of Your Spirit. Father, I ask that You minister this truth to the saints here today. I ask, Father, that You stir in their memory 10 people, 10 families, 10 of whatever, that they would list them and they would begin to pray for them on a consistent basis, Lord God, with a sole purpose of finding out what their heartfelt need is. then God bless them as they find it and they begin to work to meet it. God, you are faithful. You are He who can do the impossible, but if you're not given something to work with, there's nothing you can do. So Father, I ask that you stir the hearts of your people, especially in this time of festivities with the holiday coming upon us. Let us stop looking to ourselves. Let us believe that you will meet our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And in meeting our needs, we can bless others so that they can come and see what practical Christianity is all about. I ask this in Jesus' name, that your people would go in the power and might of your Spirit today and every day. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. So we're ready for cake. I think Mike's ready. He's over there eyeing it up. Go for it.